Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. We're doing a poolside podcast today, outside with a beautiful pool here at Belle Del Rey in Alexandria, Virginia.
Austin's in a bikini.
I'm wearing my bikini today. It's my American flag bikini, which is actually not a bikini at all. Lovely Laura, welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Yeah, you're going to have to speak up a little, Laura, because there's a microphone right over, all the way far away from you. She's got her back to the pool right now. I'm going to take a picture of her in a minute when we see her in the so you can see her in the show. Today we're going to be talking about the gay marriage. I'm super. Thanks for asking. I'm obviously not gay, but I'm happy for all my gay friends. Yay!
Yay
for the gays. Keep it sunny. Keep it funny. Keep it gay. But we're going to be talking about that. But first, before we do, a brief message from our sponsors. The Freedom Report podcast is brought to you today by Rob Grindstaff. That's Rob Double B Grindstaff. Author of Hannah's Voice. He was the winner of a Pinnacle Book Achievement Award in 2014. He's got a in the category of fiction. He's got a book that just came out last year called Hannah's Voice. And it's about this 6-year-old girl whose brutal honesty is mistaken for lying, and so she stops speaking. So her family, her community, and eventually the entire nation struggle to find meaning in her silence. Liberty lovers, libertarians will definitely identify with this novel, so go to Amazon or any other fine bookstore to get a copy of Hannah's Voice by Rob Grindstaff. And thanks a lot for sponsoring our show, Rob. Appreciate it. Back to the show. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so what do you think? Gay marriage? Is this the depravity, the moral depravity, the end of America as we know it, Laura?
Everybody is listening to this right now going, stop, make stop. It stop. Stop, I'm so tired of
my
this.
Favorite posts were the ones who said, it looks like, on my Facebook feed, like an like the Confederacy went to war with a bag of Skittles.
Yes.
Because everything, just an explosion of gay, a nuclear gay bomb just went off, and we're all just like, oh my God. All our gay friends are celebrating. And we heard that on U Street in D.C. last Friday night that people were just going crazy and all the gays were out in force, and then they had to send in the National Guard because they had, like, unicorns they were riding through the streets. And the whole D.C. was taken over by the gays. But no, we are tired of the story, but we don't have a choice to talk about this because it's the biggest story, obviously. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the libertarian viewpoint on this. We'll talk about the court's decision. And Laura rounded up all of the opinions of the major presidential candidates. And so we're going to be reading off some of those. Probably the most important person's viewpoint for libertarians of who do we find interesting on this is Rand Paul, who said government should get out of the marriage business altogether. Amen to that. Amen, mm-hmm. Rand Paul. But the problem with that opinion is, and although I believe that Rand Paul is sincere in his belief of this, he took a couple of days. He took the weekend to wait to make a statement, which a lot of the people didn't, right? Like, they were sort of like out of the gate with their, either like, I love my gays, or they're saying like, you know, freaking faggots, you know, like, gay people are taking over, man. Freaking gays, man. And you do anal sex everywhere, man. You know, the haters. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's how sort of the response. What about you? What kind of responses did you see, Laura? About the same?
Or? Yeah, and then I see all the presidential candidates, all the Republican candidates, they do this, like, back and forth. Like, they take one step forward and two steps back on any statement in regards to gay marriage. They're like, well, I think it's up to the states. But, my faith leads me to believe this. But, I think we should love everybody. But... you know, all these contradictory statements just so it's a political...
Yeah.
You know, it's safe.
Yeah, safe. Being safe. But Rand Paul came out, and we have a lesbian libertarian on staff at the Libertarian Republic, and she was kind of disappointed with Rand Paul's response, and which we're going to read here, because she thought it was just a little too lukewarm. And of course, yeah. You know, like, she wants, like, you know, him to be like, you know, rah for the gays. Which you can't when you're running for the Republican nomination. So I guess I understand it from a principled perspective, like a political perspective. But I actually thought that his statement was pretty great. It was a good libertarian statement. Did you read it? And what did you think?
Yeah. No, I thought the same thing. I wrote about this actually for my school a few years ago, and it was very well received. The thing is that nobody can really argue it.
Yeah. Well, listen to this. Rand Paul says, while I disagree with the Supreme Court's redefinition of marriage, I believe that all Americans have the right to contract. The Constitution is silent on the question of marriage because marriage has always been a local issue. Our founding fathers went to the local courthouse to be married. not to Washington, D.C. I've often said that I don't want my guns or my marriage registered in Washington. Those who disagree with the recent Supreme Court ruling argue that the court should not overturn the will of legislative majorities. Those who favor the Supreme Court ruling argue that the 14th Amendment protects rights from legislative majorities, and I totally agree with that interpretation. Do consenting adults have a right to contract with other consenting adults? Supporters of the Supreme Court's decision argue yes, but they argue no when it comes to economic liberties, like contracts regarding wages. It's a minimum wage stuff, mm-hmm. right? Of course. It seems some rights are more equal than others. Marriage, though a contract, is also more than just a simple contract. I acknowledge the right to contract in all economic and personal spheres, but that doesn't mean there isn't a danger that a government that involves itself in every nook and cranny of our lives won't now enforce definitions that conflict with sincerely felt religious convictions of others. Now, let me pause that there and say how interesting that he says that, because the sort of paranoia that I would use the word paranoia from conservatives is now that the homosexuals are going to sue churches in order to force churches to marry them, similar to how gays are suing baking cake, wedding cake manufacturers to force them to serve cakes, gay marriage cakes, from their place of business. And that has been successfully done. Now, I sort of trolled the conservatives and am getting very rich off of it right now from posting a story from the United Kingdom where a millionaire gay couple sued the church to force them to hold their wedding ceremony. And the difference between, but the reason why it's a little bit paranoia is because the difference between the United States and Britain, of course, is that we have the freedom of religion, right? We have the First Amendment, and there's no establishment of religion. But in the United Kingdom, they actually have religious posts in government. They actually have members of parliament that are reserved seats of parliament for religious members of the church. So if you were in the United Kingdom and you were subsidizing the Church of England, you would have a say. You would have some legal standing there, constitutional. Maybe not. I mean, and even like ethically, simply stated, because again, if you're paying for something, this is the argument for the Confederate flag, right? Why you and I think it's okay for them to take down the Confederate flag from the State House, right? Because why are we having to pay to have a Confederate flag raised at the State House, okay? And it's the same sort of concept there in the UK. But here in the United States, the difference is that the churches are not subsidized by the state, other than the fact that they are tax exempt. So in that sense, you know, that's where the liberals, and I saw today that the New York Times has an editorial from a guy who's saying we need to remove the tax exemption from churches. Well, let me just tell you something, that the minute you do that, that is when the gays are going to start being able to sue churches and stuff like that, because there'll be some, it'll be an intertangling. I actually, as even though I'm an atheist, I prefer that the churches be tax exempt. I'd prefer everybody to be tax exempt, but I'd like to keep the government and religion separate in such a way, because then the religious types will say, oh, well, we're paying taxes, so we get a say in local government, and I would prefer them to stay out of it. Sure. So, Laura, why don't you read off one of the positions of the presidential candidates? And let's go through, and we'll go one by one, and we'll sort of talk about each person's role.
Sure. Okay. So Carly Fiorina at the Western Conservative Summit just said, quote, "Principles are most important when they are most difficult to uphold. I have been an advocate of civil unions because of benefits. That is very different than the Supreme Court telling us what marriage is. Marriage is an institution grounded in spirituality between a man and a woman that can bring forth life."
Whose is this?
Carly Fiorina.
Okay, so what do you think of her opinion on this?
I have been an advocate of civil unions because of benefits, she says. So that to me sounds like she's cool with civil unions, but spiritually, she believes marriage is between a man and a woman. And that's going to be every conservative's answer, I feel like.
Right, exactly. Because that's sort of like that's the conservative mantra there. But yeah. Do you think like she's weaseling there? What do you think?
No, I don't think she's weaseling. No? I think she's pretty straightforward. I mean, she hasn't thrown us any BS so far. Mm-hmm. So I have to take her at at truth.
At face value. Okay, yeah. Who's next? What now?
Who? Ben Carson.
What does Ben Carson have to say?
Well, we know what Ben Carson has to say.
Let's hear what Ben Carson has to say.
While I strongly disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, their ruling is now the law of the land. Mm-hmm. I call on Congress to make sure deeply held religious views are respected and protected, he said. The government must never force Christians to violate their religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. I support same-sex civil unions, but to me and millions like me, marriage is a religious service, not a government form.
It's a religious service, not a government form. So you sound kind of libertarian
so like
a little
Paul?
Bit. Yeah, yeah. That's the problem with these conservatives is that now they all sound like libertarians. Mm-hmm. Where was the get the government out of marriage call when we needed them?
Yes.
And of course, guess what? Just hot off the presses, Texas, this is David Simpson. He's running for Texas Senate. What does he say? He calls for a special session to end marriage licensing in Texas.
Wow.
Of course. Get the government out of marriage now.
I love Texas.
I do too, but here's the thing. They're doing that in Alabama, right? They're trying to pass it in Alabama so that they... And there's certain jurisdictions of Alabama that are saying, hey, we aren't going to grant any marriage licenses at all now. But it's amazing because now the homophobia and the bigotry has to take a back seat to the fact that they're on the run, they're on the defeat. And this is what it ought to tell you, conservatives, the ones who do like hate the gays, who are like, you know, basically step up or maybe the same as the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, God hates fags people.
God.
Your hatred and your bigotry results in bigger government. It's like the Confederate flag. Like, I don't want the Confederate flag not to be sold at the Gettysburg National Parks Museum, okay? You should be able to have it at Fort Sumter, at a historical site. You know, we don't want to destroy history, right? It is the bigotry and the hatred that causes the backlash. You know, if the symbols weren't appropriated by racists, and the conservatives will say, well, you know, Ku Klux Klan carries the cross, you know, should we take that down from places? I'm like, if it's on public property, yes. If it's on private property, no. And so I think there is a distinction there. But I mean, it shows the historical ignorance of the recent history, where the anti-civil rights movement was born carrying that symbol. So, you know, I don't wear a Che Guevara shirt out around because I know that's insensitive. I don't wear a rebel flag because I know it's insensitive. I don't wear a swastika because I know it's insensitive. I do wear a shirt that says Buenos fucking Aires. So, yeah, you know, maybe it's a fine line. But, you know, you got to have taste, you know, and class and culture. You know, civilization requires us to get along with one another in a certain extent. So, you know, you gotta, like, you know, I'm not dancing here, I'm just saying.
Austin was just playing FTP when I came outside for the podcast.
F the police, yeah.
That's class.
Whatever. Shut up. Who's next?
Okay, so Jeb Bush, quote, guided by my faith, I believe in traditional marriage. I believe the Supreme Court should have allowed the states to make this decision. Mm-hmm. But he also called for the country to, quote, love our neighbor and respect others, including those making lifetime commitments.
Oh.
Quote, in a country as diverse as ours, good people who have opposing views should be able to live side by side. I like that.
I like that too. I actually really like that position from Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
You don't look happy.
I don't look happy?
Yeah, because, well, Jeb Bush, he's why? Because he's doing good? You're like, oh, too
something
bad.
Something good comes out of him, yeah.
Every time we hear something from Jeb Bush, it's kind of like, well, not bad, Jeb, you know? Yeah, you don't, yeah. We obviously...
Frontin'.
Yeah, exactly. He's frontin'. Well, I like his statement there.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like there's any hostility or bigotry behind it.
Right.
So I give Jeb Bush two thumbs up for his... I also give two thumbs up to all the bikinis that are here at the pool this morning that are distracting me. Over your left shoulder there. Goodness.
Yep.
No more poolside podcasts. It's just too distracting.
They probably just heard you say that.
I know. Oh, well. That's what makes it fun. All right. So what's up?
Okay. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
I assume that she is a super homo lover.
Now.
Oh, now?
Yeah, now.
What do you mean, now?
That my favorite meme that I've seen shared is a side-by-side, and it's Hillary's face and a statement in 2004 beside her new logo that's all rainbows and has her Hillary...
What?
Yeah, okay. In 2004, she said, I believe that marriage is not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman. I have had occasion in my life to defend marriage. Haha. mm-hmm. to stand up for marriage, to believe in the hard work and challenge of marriage, so I take umbrage at anyone who might try to suggest that those of us who worry about amending the Constitution are less committed to the sanctity of marriage. Mm-hmm. Came out against it in 2004, mm-hmm. right? And then now she has this, I didn't finish my statement earlier, that meme that's floating around, it says, when you desperate and need votes.
When Bae is desperate, and but she needs votes, and so she's got to change her position.
So she has to have, change her logo to the rainbow graphic. But
yeah,
then...
Go ahead.
So then 10 years later, in 2014, last year, she said, for me, marriage has always been a matter left to the states. And in many of the conversations that I and my colleagues and supporters had, I fully endorse the efforts by activists who work state by state. And in fact, that is working.
Mm-hmm. So Hillary's a flip-flopper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing, here's the thing, like, she has no excuse because she was always a liberal, she was always a Democrat, and mm-hmm. the principal liberals and the principal Democrats were always for marriage equality.
Right.
So, why the change? I think it just goes to show what how she is just craven. She has no real principles.
The political pulpit.
If you want to be a successful politician, you read the polls and the numbers, and you change your positions according to the polls and numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always supported gay marriage. That's because I'm a freaking libertarian. You know what I mean? Like, it's your life. You get to do what you want with it. As long as you harm no one else, you should be able to do whatever you want, you know? Snort cocaine off a baby's head? That might be getting into trouble. I just like to pull that out because it's funny.
Did you think of that, or is that like a movie or something?
No, I'm going to put it in a movie one day. I'm going to write a movie and just to use that line. No, actually, I got that line when I first started my job at Fox. The executive producer for our show is this guy named Gary Schreier. He's hilarious, but like high-strung Jewish guy. And he was amazing. He was so funny, just full of one-liners. And he was trying to, you know, talk to us about what it's like being a libertarian. And, mm-hmm. like, you know, and he's like, I'm a libertarian. He goes, I don't think you ought to be able to do coke off a baby's head, but, you know. I was just like, I mean, I remember our whole crew just screaming, laughing because, and, you know, he just pulled that out of his butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He didn't sit around and write that down and be like, oh, I got to tell the libertarians this joke the next day. But that, I mean, but that's what he, when you're a creative executive producer for CNBC and Fox Business, you know, you're probably pretty badass. And
have you seen Wolf of Wall Street?
I have not, actually.
That kind of reminds me of that movie. That's a very... Libertarians would like that movie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Sex, drugs, money.
All right, so Hillary Clinton's a flip-flopper on gay marriage. Right. Down with Hillary. Who else we got?
Rick Santorum.
All right, uh-oh.
Yeah, you know what he's going to say. As president, he thinks he should... if he were president, he says he would spend more time promoting marriage instead of things like global warming. was his statement. He says he's going to try and fight the Supreme Court's decision in any way possible.
Mm-hmm.
But he said if a family member of his were to marry someone of the same sex, he would love them and support them, but it would be against his faith to participate in that ceremony.
Oh, so he wouldn't go to the gay marriage.
Right.
He says he would love them still, but he would not participate in that.
Right.
Okay, well...
He wouldn't bake their cake, but... He would invite them to Christmas. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. That's weird. I mean, Santorum is always, like, difficult to parse out. But it sounds like, you know, not like the most hated kind of homophobic comment I would have expected. What else you got?
That's all the candidates I have.
That's all the candidates? Yeah. Okay, then, well, that's interesting. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, people, like, let's talk about, like, the dissent. You know, the people who said, no, we don't want to legislate marriage this way. It used to be illegal to marry black people, for white people to marry black people mm-hmm. in this country. You know? We haven't always, marriage hasn't always been between one man and one woman. It's been between one white and one white. It's been between one black and one black. And, you know, a buddy of ours who came by is like the pool cleaner guy stopped by and he's like, oh, I just auditioned for this new movie and it's, you know, Loving versus Virginia. And it's about the case, the Supreme Court case that legalized interracial marriage in the United States. I think it was in 1967. But imagine being living in that time, you know, and they got arrested. So they went to D.C. to go get married, the guy and his wife. They went to D.C. to get married. And they went to Virginia and promptly got arrested for interracial marriage. So... Ladies and gentlemen, you know, you have to understand that I don't care what you think about how the Constitution operates. We have a 14th Amendment, and that guarantees, you know, equal protections. So all people in the United States have a right to love, and to, if you can engage in a contract, then so can everybody else. It's just how it has to be. Equal protections. And so I'm glad that the Supreme Court found fit to rule this way, because I think that morally it was the right thing to do, no matter what your position is on gay marriage. And I am super gay married. I'm super happy because I guess I just was never, I was raised in a conservative household, but I just never, I just don't have hate in my heart, you know? Mm-hmm. I just don't. Except for big government. That's about it.
See, and I was raised in a conservative household too, and we would, I mean, there were jokes made and things like that. But I never understood, and my family never understood why conservatives were concerned with gay marriage.
Well, because, like, they say it's because the Bible, but they don't care about adultery, you know what I mean?
The, like, whole principle of staying out of the bedroom, I thought, was a thing.
Yeah, and no. No. America, as liberal as America is, like socially liberal as America is, we have a long history of Puritanism in this country.
Right.
I mean, these are the same people who are calling for prohibition of alcohol. So, you know, there is a long tradition of, like, very authoritarian religious types in this country, people who want to force their particular religious sex values on the rest of us. And that exists with Muslims as well. You know, there certainly are tyrannical, authoritarian Islamo-fascists who want to, you know, force Sharia law on the rest of us. Certainly Osama bin Laden did. But, you know, the Christian Taliban is also in existence. And we have to always stay alert to safeguard our liberties from any sort of tyrannical authoritarianism, whether that's Christian or Muslim or gay authoritarianism. There definitely is a gay mafia, and you have to be very, very careful about you know, offending the gay mafia, because they will come after you in your job, like,
yeah,
the Mozilla guy who is the CEO of Firefox, who had to step down because of some pressure that he had placed on him. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, just from a religious point of view, though, why... You know,
you're religious.
Yeah, I was always told not to pick a sin. So why are Christians picking this sin to legislate against? I mean, you know,
right,
lying's a sin too. Do you want there to be an amendment against that?
Should there be a law against that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why hone in on this, and why ostracize and judge these people when you're just as guilty?
You know what's funny? There was actually a scientific research study on people of different political views, and they found that conservatives are the ones who are most easily disgusted, and that libertarians are the ones who are least disgusted. So liberals get disgusted too, but when it came to their political viewpoints, their sense of being grossed out, that people who held conservative viewpoints are people who are most easily grossed out. And that libertarians were found, this is actually Reason Magazine, we could pull this up, but I'll send it to you, Laura. I'm sorry to spring it on you, I should have told you, but I didn't know we were going to go there. But, the conservatives were the group of people who were most easily sickened. You know what I mean? So, think about it. Fainting couches. You know, like, oh! You know, are you looking it up?
That's interesting. I'm trying to look up the name of the SNL impersonator that impersonates Obama.
Uh-huh.
He actually came out in an interview and said that liberals are the ones that get most offended by jokes.
Right.
And he said
they
can make more jokes against Republicans than they can against Democrats, because Republicans can take a joke, but Democrats can't. But apparently, you just
I found it. Listen to this. It's called "It's Hard to Gross Out a Libertarian." This is from John Tierney, June 2013 issue of Reason Magazine. In February, the New York University social psychologist Jonathan Haidt spoke at the Museum of Sex in New York City. At his website, yourmorals.org, go to that right now, yourmorals.org, he asked 300,000 people a variety of questions about politics and personality. Following the speech, which was hosted by Reason, New York Times columnist John Tierney interviewed Haidt about his research on political ideologies, his views on morals in politics, and why libertarians aren't easily disgusted.
Because libertarians are disgusting.
That's what conservatives would say, right? That's what they would say. So he goes, what distinguishes libertarians? You probably have the greatest database. He says, what we find about libertarians is that they are the highest on systemizing and by far the lowest on empathizing.
Yes,
meaning, like, I don't feel your pain, bitch.
I don't give a F.
Meaning I'm not going to raise your minimum wage. He says, and that's true even within sexes. Women who become libertarians are higher on systemizing and lower on empathizing than women who don't. Liberals and conservatives aren't actually that different on these. Listen, this explains the great strengths of libertarians and why they do so well in academia and in think tanks. They're very theoretical, logical, rational people. We also have some logic problems. Libertarians solve them better than anyone else. So the guy, the questioner, says, you find that libertarians are low on disgust. Should libertarians be trying to figure out these disgust feelings to be able to understand adversaries? And he says, learning to empathize better, to assume a virtue if you have it not, for use, almost can change the stamp of nature. Might be strategically an effective way to be able to talk to people who are not dispositionally libertarian and get them to be involved in libertarian projects. Meaning, assume that the person is a virtuous, right? That they believe what they believe based on good faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to say something?
Objectivism is valuable. But when you're trying to persuade someone, it is important to understand how to empathize.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So he says, you also find that libertarians are low on disgust. Should libertarians be trying to figure out these disgust feelings? Yeah, I guess. Oh, he goes, in a less Machiavellian vein, think about whether disgust actually does anything for us or whether it's some ancient atavism that we might just ditch. To some extent, we do need to ditch it or at least tone it down because it makes us believe things like miscegenation laws between marriage of gay marriage and stuff like that. A lot of disgust is keeping things separate. It's about this purity and pollution idea taken to an extreme. Gay marriage, it's exactly the same thing. What he says. Yeah.
When we're talking about libertarians who aren't disgusted, I keep thinking of the anarcho-capitalist men story.
they're disgusting?
that we just published.
Right, which is funny, right? Because they're we call them disgusting, and now it's now we're high on the disgust meter, right? Okay, that's funny, very funny. Okay, so let me move on here. Okay, so you talk about society becoming decentralized and this revulsion against impure things diminishing in the West. Do you have any predictions in the future of the culture war? This is from 2013, so before the gay marriage thing was headed down. The impurity, disgust aspect of politics, what's going to happen to that? He says, Republicans have realized they basically lost the battle over these social issues. Well, now they do. And the reason they lost is that the demographics are taking care of it. I believe the culture war has now shifted radically. Since the Tea Party has united libertarians and social conservatives, that unity has forced them to downplay the social issues. So for a variety of reasons, that alliance, plus the increasing demographic diversity, the Republicans can't possibly revive this purity stuff, this anti-gay stuff. It's a losing ticket. It'll be losing more every year. Wow, they really called this. From the other side, though, Greens now have their purity obsession with organic foods and pesticides. Is that where purity is going to end up going? And he goes, that's a good point. I've painted it as though conservatives do all the purity stuff. Liberals do it, too. It's commonly joked that conservatives are always moralizing sex and telling you what you can't do. But my God, just try to order breakfast with someone who's on the far left. Yeah, vegetables only. It's got to be vegan, organic.
Oh, I'm a server and I deal with these people all the time. I want my gluten-free ice cubes.
Yeah, the Puritans of both parties can go to hell. Libertarians forever. We'll promise we'll empathize. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, do us a favor. Go to iTunes, go to iTunes.com and subscribe to us. You can find us on the Freedom Report, searching the Freedom Report. If you don't have an Apple device, you can also find us on Stitcher. Stitcher.com is the Android device. Go to Stitcher.com, download the Freedom Report. Every time we upload a new episode, you'll be able to get it automatically. And of course, if you love us, leave us a 5-star review. Come on, guys. I know that you are listening. You know you want to help us out. It's free. Leave us a 5-star review. A 5-star written review will help us to spread the message. Don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com. The news.